We're ready to dive into the Sermon on the Mount, aren't we?
Yes.
Good. Some of you know, if you were here on Wednesday, we had Ash Wednesday services. And through that, God's been talking to me a little while about this passage of Scripture that we all know and love, and we know it is the Sermon on the Mount. So we are going to, over the next few weeks, dive into that. We're going to see what Jesus had to say in his direct teachings and how we then become his disciples and how we apply those things that he taught to our life by our actions. You guys on board, right?
Yes.
We learned on Wednesday, just as a little recap and maybe just a reminder for those that were here, and if you happen to miss Ash Wednesday service, we learned that previously in Matthew 4, verse 17, Jesus says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Turn away from the old stuff, the stuff that separates you from God. The kingdom of heaven is near. I am the kingdom of heaven." And so we learned on Wednesday that the kingdom of heaven isn't a place, but it's in us, in our hearts, and in our behaviors, and Jesus guiding us and directing us, and us being disciples of Jesus, right? For those of you that were here, you remember that part, right? Okay. We learned that being a disciple isn't just believing in something, it's then acting and behaving like that someone or something, right? So today, and then over the next question mark number of weeks, don't you like an open-ended sermon series? So good, right? It's three chapters in Matthew. We're going to go through it, Pastor Tosh and I, over the next few weeks. It may lead us past Easter. I have no idea, but at least during Lent, we're going to be chewing at this and looking and digging into the Sermon on the Mount to see what Jesus says about his kingdom of heaven, and what it's to look like. From what I can tell from having discussions and conversations with people in this room, you guys want to be kingdom of heaven people, as we called it, right? Those people that go outside the doors and the walls here and apply Jesus's teachings to your life to show the kingdom of heaven out into the world. So we're going to figure out what that means. You're going to be challenged, I guarantee it, but it's going to be a good challenge, and there's going to be growth that happens. That's what Lent, or being a Christian, is all about, right? All right, so without further ado, because there's a lot of stuff to go over, aren't you excited? I am. Okay. Matthew 5 starts a Sermon on the Mount, Jesus' most famous sermon, and he opens up this sermon with what we know as the Beatitudes. Anybody heard that word before? The Beatitudes. Now, the word beatitude itself means supreme blessedness. Blessed means deep joy. So we're talking about supreme deep joy here as Jesus is saying these things and articulating these things at the very beginning of his sermon called the Beatitudes. If you don't know anything about the Beatitudes, this is the part of Jesus's, when Jesus says these things like, blessed are you who blah, 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 because then blah, blah, blah. I'm going to fill in the blah, blah, blahs later, but you're welcome. But Jesus says the whole blessed are yous. You guys have heard that, right? If I said the blessed are yous things, you'd be, oh, but if I call the Beatitude, you'd be like, what? But you know the blessed are you things. So Jesus here is preaching. He's starting his sermon off, and he's speaking of a state of spiritual well-being and prosperity despite circumstances, because we know that's what joy is, right? It doesn't matter circumstances. It's deep in your soul, happiness, and contentment. Blessed comes from the Greek word meaning bliss, blissful. I like that word, bliss. Blessedness or being blessed, the Beatitudes, doesn't mean superficial happiness. We've kind of covered that, but I'll say that statement. The Beatitudes describe the qualities and experiences of people who belong to the kingdom of heaven. His whole entire sermon is about the qualities and experiences that people have who belong to the kingdom of heaven. And once again, we all want to be kingdom of heaven people, correct? Yes. Yes, okay, good. As we see, as we go through these Beatitudes, these blessed blessings that Jesus talks about, you're going to see that these values and experiences are radically different from the world. Kind of like, not just radically different, but complete opposite of the world, okay? So as we read these, Notice that it's going to be like kind of head scratcher sometimes because it goes against everything we've been taught and what the world teaches us, which is where we're in and what we're inundated with. Also, as I was reading these, I love that Jesus starts his sermon off with this. He doesn't start off with a fiery language of telling people to turn from their ways and repent or else this is going to happen to you. He starts with some really delicate heart work is what he starts with these Beatitudes. He starts by telling us the blessings we receive when our hearts are in step with his, when our hearts are in step with the kingdom of heaven. So, without further ado, before we go any further, let's read these together, shall we? Matthew 5, 1 through 12 is what I'm going to read today. The Beatitudes. Now, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside. Sermon on the Mount. Get it? Okay. And sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me." I can't wait to get to that one. That's a real fun one, isn't it? "Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." There's the Beatitudes, peeps. Now, some people, as I was preparing for this and doing a lot of reading, and there's a lot on this stuff, some really good stuff. I could stand up here for hours, but I won't. It's okay. Your afternoon plans of nap taking will still play, will be in play. But as I was studying this, there are some scholars who think that there are 7, 9, or even 10 Beatitudes. I, myself, agree with other people who say that there are 8 Beatitudes. If you look at this, all of the Beatitudes, all the Beatitudes are each verse, except when you get to the end, 10, 11, and 12 are all lumped as one Beatitude, in my opinion. And as I said before, there's so much to do and to talk about with each of these. And I was thinking, okay, how am I going to get through all this material? If I'm going to chunk all this up, maybe I do a couple different Sundays with this. But we're going to get through all 8 of these Beatitudes today. You're with me, right? Yes. Here's the thing. There's a lot of stuff, and I'm only going to hit the tip of the iceberg on these. And I would encourage you, as the Holy Spirit talks to you, especially if there's one that you're like, ooh, that was, I need to work on that one. Dig into that one this week. Pray on it. Research it on your own. Read it again. Get different versions of the Bible to read again. Whatever God is speaking to you on some of these, there's much more I could say about it, but I will keep it brief. I promise. So we're going to go through all 8 of them. Okay, you ready? Buckle up. Here we go. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Oh, yes. Very good. And I have slides. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The easiest way for me to describe this, blessed are the poor in spirit, is this. People who are poor in spirit are humble. Being humble and poor in spirit allows God to reign in your life. The kingdom of heaven is not for the proud people who think they don't need God and they got it all together on their own. The kingdom of heaven is for the poor in spirit who realize the humongous gap between them and their relationship with God and want to try to close that gap. That gap is closed by Jesus, FYI. So poor in spirit people really understand that how much and how desperately they need Jesus. They understand that only through him can they have that relationship they want with God. And they're poor in spirit. They're humbled by that. Poor in spirit people also Provide a place of a place free of judgment to others and negative opinions of other people. That's their humility kicking in. You realize when you are poor in spirit, as Jesus is saying, blessed are you, if you're poor in spirit, you realize your spiritual emptiness and how our God provides what you need spiritually, and only God provides it through his grace. This is not at all how the world wants us to act, correct? Can we agree with that? Right. The world wants us to be proud and independent. We don't need anybody. We don't need anything. No. No, 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 we do. We need God. We need Jesus. So Jesus is saying, blessed are those poor in spirit who understand that, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Number two, blessed are those that mourn, for they will be comforted. There's a couple different ways I see this, and I wanted to just land on one, but I'm not. I'm just going to give you both of them. This can refer to, and does refer to, I think it refers to both of them in different ways and different times in our life. It refers to the mourning we have over our separation from God and our sin in our life and how we need to get our stuff together. It mourns over that distance that we have in our relationship with God sometimes. This could be a spiritual mourning. Once again, this mourning and reminding us how much we need Jesus kind of goes to the poor in spirit back again. It doesn't make sense that Jesus would say, oh, blessed are you who mourn. But once again, he's on a spiritual level saying you understand where you're at and you're mournful over those things that separate you from God. I think too, and I'll get to why in a minute, but it can also mean mourning and grief that hangs in our lives and things that we go through on this earth. Everybody knows, I would assume, in this room, what mourning and grief is like. And I think the reason I come up with that deduction is I found that there's a word, there's an 18-letter Greek word that's used, that's translated, that helps us understand a little bit. Do you guys want me to try to say this 18-letter Greek word? I thought you might. Okay. Parakleithesontai. I think that's pretty fluent right there. I think that's pretty fluent. But this word that is used in translation for comforted doesn't just mean comforted. It refers to someone interceding on behalf of someone else needing assistance. So it means advocate. Blessed are those that mourn, for they will be comforted and have an advocate. That could mean in our spiritual life, we have that advocate we know as Jesus, spiritually speaking, but it can also be in physical, like the earth form of grief and sorrow, how we advocate for one another and we're there for one another as the kingdom of heaven, helping those with mourning. And you're going to see this a lot over the next few weeks, just so you know, the next three chapters, Jesus talks a lot about helping others, the kingdom of heaven. Helping others, especially those who are downtrodden and had things happen to them that are out of their control. This is also super opposite of the world, if you think about it. A lot of times the world wants us to avoid grief. Obviously, avoid grief over our sin. They don't. But the world comes at us and doesn't want us to recognize that. Also, grief that happens in our life. Oh, no, just press through. Push on. You got this. You're fine. You don't need help. We all need help one way or another, spiritually or here. We need advocates and advocacy. And Jesus saying, the kingdom of heaven is that, helping one another. Okay, so that's mourn. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Who has heard this a million times? Yeah, this is like a famous one. Meek, the definition of meekness is being quiet and timid, gentle and easily imposed upon, submissive. This definitely isn't what the world wants, right? The world does not want Greek people. I did not mean to say that. Meek people. I love Greek people. And the food. The world does not. I did turn 50 on Monday, just FYI. This is what happened. This is what 50 looks like, everybody. This is what 50 looks like. This is it. I gotta sit down in a minute. My knee's giving out. Okay. You got many more years of this. Buckle up, people. Okay. Meekness. The world does not want meekness, do they? That's looked at as a negative characteristic. Meekness is. Our world wants us to be opposite of that, strong and powerful, but not God's kingdom. God's kingdom wants people who are humble, patient. Meek people are obedient to God. And then they get rewarded, don't they? They inherit the earth. How awesome is that? All right, moving on. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. I got news for you guys. We do not live in a righteous world. We do not live in a moral world, do we? We live in a world that's just not right on so many levels sometimes. However, as Kingdom of Heaven people, we must keep looking for it. We must be that in the world. We must fight for it. We must hunger. We must thirst for it. As Kingdom of Heaven people, I think we need to start with ourselves, which is why we're here, right? To learn more about Jesus so we can be more righteous and more just and more moral and fair out in the world. And then we have to, individually and as a group, maintain hope for a world that is not going to ever be right until Jesus comes back again. I'm sorry to say that, but it's just not going to be. But we have to be the little beacons searching and thirsting and being hungry for righteousness out in this world. That's a hard task sometimes, to keep your chin up and keep going at it. It's not easy to do, and it can be a struggle. However, it's what Jesus says the Kingdom of Heaven people need to do. So no matter how difficult it is, we need to buckle up and do it. I've said buckle up a few times. I guess that's the thing today. We just need to grin and bear it. Go with it. Because one day, there will be justice. And our hearts will be totally spiritually filled. It'll be good. There'll be righteousness and justice here one day. But in the meantime, Kingdom of Heaven peeps, we got to keep on hungering and thirsting for it. So it's halftime. That's half of them. You've made it. You good? Might need to stretch, hydrate, or anything like that? We've made it through four. And I can see with these first four Beatitudes, Jesus pronounces blessed conditions on those who would not be considered blessed. Do you see that? We would consider these people not fortunate. And he's describing Kingdom of Heaven people. These first four blessings focus on those in situations that are destitute, that are downtrodden. With the promise, though, the promise at the end is that they will find their situation reversed in the Kingdom of Heaven. Their earthly situation is totally reversed with Jesus and in the Kingdom of Heaven. We see those people that are poor in spirit, mourning, meek, and hungry for righteousness, who then are within the kingdom, they're comforted, they're inheriting the earth, and their longing for justice is filled in the Kingdom of Heaven. All these things look toward the future, towards the Kingdom of Heaven, not necessarily in the now, maybe it is, but especially in the future with Jesus, in that relationship with Jesus, and the kingdom that is in here, not on earth. So we get to the next set of the four Beatitudes, and we see blessings given to those whose hearts are in line with the Kingdom of Heaven, I kind of broke this up. There's first four and the second four. We see people in the kingdom of heaven who are merciful, pure in heart, peacemakers, and yes, a blessing, persecuted for their belief and standing up for Jesus. Let's read 7 through 12 again, just to remind us, because it's been a little while. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So, number five, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Just as Jesus has showed us mercy and we've accepted that mercy, we are to do the same to others. That's what kingdom of heaven people do. That's what's in their heart to do. Being merciful means you offer forgiveness to people. Being merciful means you don't hold grudges against people. Being merciful means we remember the mercy that we've been given, and then we return the favor to other people. We recently talked about in Bible study that's on Wednesdays, 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. We recently talked in Bible study about the parable of the unforgiving servant. We were talking about forgiveness through the Lord's Prayer. The parable of the unforgiving servant, there was a servant who had a large debt forgiven by his master, but then he refused to forgive a smaller debt that someone owed him. Hypocritical. But that's how God's kingdom works. Our world doesn't work that way, does it? You did this to me, you're going to pay. That's how our world works. That is not the kingdom of heaven, people. We have to rethink this critical value, I think, because it's critical to the kingdom of heaven and what Jesus did in forgiving all of us and giving us mercy that we did not deserve. Jesus says, blessed are those who show mercy, because you will be shown mercy. And I don't know about you, but I need mercy every single day. God's mercy. And mercy from others when I make mistakes. The world doesn't want us to show mercy to one another. That's definitely not what the world says. But once again, Jesus goes against the grain. So when you go around forgiving and being merciful to people, the world's going to look at you like you're a weirdo. And that's okay. Blessed are those that are merciful, for they're going to be shown mercy. Number six, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Pure in heart, these are people who have sincere and undivided devotion to God. There's no hidden motives. There's no evil desires here. They're just people who truly want to experience and do experience a deep connection with God. Ooh, that's awesome, right? Kingdom of heaven people, pure in heart. Pure in heart people are transparent, honest, and they have a desire to please God in all things without compromise. They just do the things God says. They want to honor him and worship him in their actions every single day with no other motive than just to love him and worship him. David writes in one of his psalms for God to create a pure heart in him and renew a right spirit. God is the only one who can create this pure heart in people. So if you need one, ask him for it and let him work on you to create in you a pure heart. That is a kingdom of heaven person. The world does not like that either, do they? They want us to do things for ulterior motives, for things for ourselves, for our own glory, for whatever. Me, me, me. This pure in heart person's about God, God, God. Number 7. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Jesus himself is called the Prince of Peace, so I'm not surprised that he talked about peace a little bit here in the Beatitudes with our hearts. His kingdom then includes those who make peace within the world. This isn't just peace that's easy to make, FYI. This includes peace that's hard to make. People you don't like, maybe even your enemy, that you need to make peace with. What? If you see things in the world like strife, war, conflict, those are not kingdom of heaven things. Because kingdom of heaven things are peace and people who make peace. This world seems to argue over everything, and there's drama over anything and everything. Peace is not what this world is right now, is it? No. Nor will be until Jesus comes back again. But we have a responsibility in our own little worlds to make peace. No more drama for this group of kingdom lovers. We have to go against the grain and create peace within everything that we can, when it's easy and when it's hard. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. And lastly, the real fun one that I know you love. Number 8. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And all the stuff in 11 and 12 too. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you. That's my favorite one. People spreading lies about me. But I have to be a peacemaker. Oh my. Rejoice and be glad. Great is your reward in heaven. This one's a really hard one. The kingdom of heaven and following Jesus means persecution. Jesus comes right out in his first sermon and says it straight up. We're often surprised when this happens to us IRL in real life. Right? Thank you. I'll try to keep up with the cool kids. We're often surprised when we get persecuted in real life, aren't we? Oh my, why did this happen? Why did that happen to this person? What? Jesus says it's going to. I'm sorry, I don't mean to be insensitive, but Jesus says this is going to happen. If you're in his kingdom, people aren't going to like it, and they're going to come up against you. We've talked about all these things up to 7 about how the world, it's completely opposite of the world. So if you're doing all these things, this is indeed going to happen. He says it over and over again, actually. This isn't the first time you're going to hear this. Expect persecution. When you go up against the world and everything it stands for, that's what's going to happen, naturally. And I don't know how it's going to happen. There's people in this world who actually physically get hurt for following Christ. And sometimes that could even happen, I guess, in this country. Most of the time we don't see that here. We see it in other countries, right? But it comes in other emotional ways and verbal ways too. People going against you and what you believe, talking you down, saying bad things about you, or spreading lies about you because you're following Jesus and trying to change your life and do what Jesus wants you to do. So, however persecution comes up against you, it is persecution, and you can just say, "Yep, blessed am I," because it's coming at me. Jesus said it was going to. But ours is the kingdom of heaven when that's happening. It can be emotionally and mentally draining when the world is going against everything you believe and how you choose to live your life on a spiritual level with Jesus. But this, to me, is one of the best promises that I have when that stuff's coming at us. Coming at me personally when I'm going up against it. knowing that, okay, I am right. I'm aligned here with Jesus. I'm in the kingdom of heaven. This is going to happen in heaven, and the kingdom of heaven's mine. I just got to keep on keeping on. I just got to keep on keeping on. That's a beautiful hope and promise for me, as these things are going to happen to us individually or as a group, as a church. I don't know. Blessed are you who are persecuted, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You made it. You made it through all 8 Beatitudes. Look at that. There's a lot of stuff there, isn't it? There's a lot of stuff. A lot of lessons. And Jesus is just getting started. But you're going to see a lot of these things later on reiterated again by Jesus. This is a beautiful beginning statement of his great Sermon on the Mount. Only 12 verses that are packed with attitudes of the heart that describe the kingdom of heaven that Jesus wants us all to be a part of. You can see with each of these blessings come with experiences that often go against the grain of the world that we live in, right? With the opening here, Jesus sets the tone for his ministry and who he is and what he's going to teach us about in the next little bit. He's saying that the kingdom is for everyone, even and especially the broken, imperfect, downhearted, downtrodden, regular people like you and me. Yay for that. He's letting everyone know that his kingdom isn't based on merit or earning salvation. It's a kingdom in which Jesus cares about our hearts, who we are, and our actions that we take with one another. He cares about the motives in our heart. And many of these, you see that, don't you? If our hearts are of Jesus' kingdom, we both are at times, we are these people in the Beatitudes, and then oftentimes we're caring about and advocating for the people in these Beatitudes, the poor in spirit, those who mourn, the meek, those who thirst and hunger for righteousness, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, and those that are persecuted. We are those people sometimes, and we're the people who advocate for those people sometimes as we're in the kingdom of God, and we see all that stuff happening. Since we're all kingdom of heaven wannabeers, people, we need to take a close look at these teachings this week, please. And say to God, okay, where do I fall short in these 8 things? What do I need to do to work on? Because it's good to know this information, but it does absolutely nothing if you don't take it and apply it to yourself. That's the point of this. Which one of these 8 struck you and made you feel a little uncomfortable? Like, ah, man, that's the Holy Spirit working on you. Dig into that one. Dig into that one this week. Talk to God about it. Talk to some other Christian about it. Whatever you need to do to grow in that area, just grow an eensy-beensy bit. That would be wonderful. Because, yes, we're during Lent, leading up to Easter, but we're also just disciples of Jesus, which means we grow all the time, year-round, not just the 40 days before Easter. Thank goodness, right? So this is how Jesus is setting up his kingdom and saying what it is and who the people are in his kingdom and what they're experiencing and what they're going through. Now we need to just take these, align them to our lives. We need to take his teaching and align them to our lives, not the opposite way. We take the teachings and put it to our life, not our life and figure out what we want to do the teachings. And today I hope you learned something. And I hope the Holy Spirit worked on you on something and poked you about something that you can work on this week, because then you can just grow a little bit more into a kingdom of heaven person.